This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm ghosted.
I was Fernandez.
Please.
Hey, boo. It's me, Roz, and welcome to Ghosted by Roz Hernandez, the podcast where I talk to people that I like about the paranormal. This week, we are joined by the sensational Sasheer Zameida, who, of course, is constantly on television, podcasts, and former Saturday Night Live cast member. I ask her a little bit about, is 30 Rock haunted? I always wonder that. Is that place haunted? It has to be. Whatever. Sasheer came with the stories, honey. So I'm just going to make this intro real quick this time because Sasheer is a dream guest. You'll see what I'm talking about. Let's just get into it. Here's me talking to Sasheer Zameida. On with the show. Oh my God. I am joined this week by Sasheer Zameida. Sasheer, how are you?
I am so good. It's good to be here.
Oh my gosh. It's a rainy day in Los Angeles.
It's a rainy day, spooky day.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know if I consider them ghosts, but yeah, I guess like energy that doesn't like leave this plane. I do believe in like there's still being life here when life has gone, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can get into that. Have you experienced that yourself?
Yeah, I have spent a lot of time in New Orleans, which is just a haunted place. Like straight up, they know it. They love it. I've definitely passed real estate signs, like for sale signs, and they list on the board haunted.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Just so you know.
People send me that all the time. And
yeah,
I think it's great because for some people, that's a huge appeal. For other people, absolutely not. Now, where would you be on that?
I would be on absolutely not. I don't want to live with more people than I intend to. You're not paying rent.
Yeah, and they come and go. You can't really plan on it.
Yeah, I think it's like a fun idea, but it's not a place I would want to live, like actually. But I was there with my partner at the time, and we were on mushrooms, which I would not recommend anyone do mushrooms in New Orleans because it already has so much energy that you don't need to enhance that. But anyway, we were on mushrooms that day and having a great time, like loving the music of the streets. It felt so good.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember we passed a busker who was singing Change Gonna Come. And we're like, oh my God, the city's so magical. And then it started getting dark. Energy started shifting. And then things that we thought were cute before were no longer cute. Like we saw the same busker and it was just like a bit off or a little pitchy. And it was just like, change gon' come. And we're like, we don't want that change. And I remember we were on Royal Street on the like Gallery Street and we were staring through a window looking at a painting because it was moving. It was like, you know, the visuals were really fun while we were on drugs. And I felt someone touch my back, like a grasp. And I turned around and my partner was not close to me, like a few feet away. And I was like, did you just touch me? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, we got to get off the street. We got to go back to the hotel. I don't like this vibe. So we go back to the hotel and we tried to hook up, which is like, why does anyone try to hook up on drugs? Like it felt like my head was inside of his head and vice versa. Like, it was not working. We were like, we should stop. This feels messy. So we stopped and then woke up the next morning. And I remember being like, it's so weird. Like, while we were making out, it felt like the door was wide open and there was another person in the room, like just like standing in the corner. And he was like, that's what I felt too. But we didn't like communicate that night. Like, it was the morning where I was like, that was a weird feeling. And he was like, I also felt that. And I was like, oh my God, was there another entity in the room? Like,
trying to start a ghost throuple?
Yes. Trying to start an orgy? Yeah, it was quite unnerving. And I have told this exact story on stage separately in a different town. And as I was talking about it, the light bulb above me burst.
That's not good.
That's not good. I was like, this is a ghost following me, being like, keep my name out of your mouth. Like,
yeah,
stop.
We didn't do anything. I was just watching.
Yeah, calm down.
Wait a second. Okay, did you get a vibe of like masculine, feminine, anything like that?
I would say, just from my memory, masculine.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but it did feel like there was just some dude.
Yeah, some hanging out. Just staring.
Yeah. Which I don't know if that means like someone passed in that hotel or whoever touched me on the street followed us into the hotel. Oh. I do not know.
Oh, I don't like that. But that's the thing with New Orleans, or, you know, some of these places where there's just, it's everywhere. You go to your hotel room, you go on the street, they'll find you.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking today, is this a good idea? I'm going to pitch you a sitcom.
Oh, please.
Okay. It's two best friends.
Uh-huh.
The one is like, they're not the star of the show. They're just like a person, okay?
Okay.
And then their best friend, who's like the real star, got like a super dry sense of humor, pansexual, and then they die. But then they come back as a ghost.
Okay.
This pansexual person with a dry sense of humor. And the show's called Deadpan.
Wow. I actually really love that. I think, I feel like some shows get sold by name. I feel like that's already ahead of the curve.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to keep working on it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not a big, you said it was mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
I never have done mushrooms like that. Like, I feel like I had, like, a little bit back in the day, and, like, not so much happening.
Yeah.
But do you, like, hallucinate? Like, you actually see things?
I haven't in a while, and I don't know if that's because it's not my first couple times anymore or if just I'm taking less than I have before. But the very first time I did it, it was full cartoons.
Really?
Yeah. I was in New York. I drank mushroom tea, and I was also doing this with a person who did mushrooms a lot. So I think her scale of what a beginner should have was a bit off. So we had mushroom tea and then also ate the mushrooms at the bottom of the tea. And we were like watching videos on my computer. The images that were on the computer were like coming off the computer and going onto the wall. And then I tried to go to the bathroom and the floor was straight up slanted. My whole inertia was just like cockeyed. And I was like, huh, well, maybe we should go outside. So we went outside, tried to walk. I lived near McCarran Park at the time in Brooklyn. And it took forever to get from my apartment to the actual park. And I remember looking at the trees and they were cartoons. And they were like moving inward and towards me. But I wasn't scared. I was just kind of like, oh, that's what you've always been. This is your true essence. I never actually like knew that this is what you could be. And kind of still, even though that was years and years ago, I still look at trees and I'm like, I know what you really are.
I know your secret.
You look all serious and stiff right now, but I know what you really are.
I definitely think that there's people that do a lot of hallucinogens and stuff. And that's kind of their belief. It's like, the world, this is how we see it. But then when I take the drugs, then we see what's actually happening always, 24/7.
Yeah.
But, like, do you really think that? Like, Do you think there are like cartoons everywhere, but we just don't see them until you're on drugs?
I mean, I think there's something to like, it does feel like it's opening up your third eye a bit, or like opening up a viewpoint that you're maybe closed off to in your normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill life. Because I do think like our brains visualize things in a way that is digestible for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the things that we see and experience probably do have some other things that we aren't able to see because we've been trained to see it this way. Like this glass looks like this glass because that's what I have learned this glass looks like. But I think it can probably be a different version. I feel like I sound so trippy right now.
No, this is where we do this, is this podcast.
Okay, good.
But also, it kind of makes me feel like the dimension multiverse kind of thing where it's like, is there another version that exists?
Yeah. Which I'm into.
And sometimes we get these little blips of that. We get like a little taste of it. And then that's when people are like, I saw a ghost or an alien or a whatever.
Totally. And there's like science behind it. There's like little things occasionally that will pop up in the news where it's like, oh, there's like maybe a portal here on like one of the poles. Like there's maybe like a peek into another dimension, or like our dimensions are not so far away as we thought. I think there is stuff that we can't see normally. And not that drugs are necessarily the way to see it, but I think there's something to like making your mind a little more uninhibited that helps you be able to see those kinds of things. It's funny, my friend Nicole Byer, who has done the show.
She's been
right?
on the show, yeah.
Yeah.
Love her.
The mushroom story I'm talking about in Brooklyn, she met me and my friends in the park. She was fully sober, but she's a person who can match that energy. So it felt like we were all on drugs, and she'd point things out and be like it was like a bunch of dogs being walked in front of us. And she was like, a dog parade. And we were like, oh, a dog parade. Which is the best person to have around when you're on drugs. And then when she walked up towards us on the bench, we were all like, a mermaid, because her hair was like flowing in the wind. And for some reason, mermaid was the first thing that we thought. We were like, you just look like a mermaid. And she's like, oh, my God, thank you.
So when you were growing up, did you have any beliefs that were, you know, from your family or, you know, anything cultural or religious or anything that would make you believe in ghosts, or any thoughts on that at all?
I was raised very Christian, Baptist.
Mm.
So my mom was not down with talking about like paranormal stuff or things of that nature. She wouldn't let me read Harry Potter because it involved witchcraft and the devil's work. But I do remember when I was in college, I came home to visit my mom, and I was staying in my childhood bedroom, and I was sleeping, and I heard like a scratch or like a scramble on the headboard above me, and then like a brush across my face. And I was like, whoa, what was that? And I turned on the light, and there was this huge spider across the room on the wall, like as big as my hand. And I was like, I don't want that. And so I snuck past it, went to my mom's room. I was like, there's a huge spider, please help. She's from the South, like grew up on a farm. So she just like got paper towels and like slammed it against the wall and like flushed it down the toilet. And I was still freaking out. And I was like, what was the thing that brushed my face? Do you think this spider crawled on my face and then flew across the room? Which also like, was it heavy stepping on the headboard? Like the sound didn't make sense. The brush across the face didn't make sense.
Ooh.
And spiders don't fly like that. So what happened? And my mom was like, you know, it was probably an angel's wing brushing you awake to warn you about danger. And I was like, oh my God, I would much rather believe that an angel woke me up than this hand-sized spider crawled across my face and flew. So that is what I'm believing. So I guess my mom, in a way, does believe in angels or believes in something spiritual like that, which I don't feel like is too different.
No, it's not. I feel like angels are like ghosts that God like hires. Like they're
yeah, they're appointed
yeah.
ghosts.
Totally. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Like it's the same thing. It's just maybe they weren't some pansexual that died and now it, you know, stars in the sitcom.
Yeah.
I don't know where they came from. But I think that's possible. I absolutely believe in that. It does make me think about that statistic about how we swallow a certain amount of spiders in our sleep.
Which is actually a fake statistic. I think it's like 8 spiders a year or something like that. But then I was Googling about that because I was like, is that true? And it's not. That rumor was actually an experiment to see how fast rumors can spread. So someone just made that statistic up. It's not like our esophagus doesn't work when we're sleeping. Like if a spider did try to crawl down our throats, we would stop it. We would choke. We would like throw it up or whatever. Mm. It wouldn't just like easily crawl down the tunnel of our throats.
Yeah. It's not like the magic school bus. We're just going to go down there.
With ease.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking about your story, like the angels like tapping, like, come on.
Yeah.
There's a spider. And then you're still sleeping. And then it's like, all right, I'm going to get the wing out.
Yeah. It's trying multiple things. Like, okay, I guess you didn't hear the thing. I used all my energy to tap. And I'll just slap her with my wing.
Can I tell you about a story I researched?
Yeah.
It's called the Dover Demon.
Ooh.
You ever hear of it?
No, I have not.
It's a Massachusetts kind of urban legend, cryptid creature.
Okay.
How do you feel about that phenomena of like a Bigfoot, you know, Loch Ness?
I mean, there are like so many creatures that like show up every few years where it's like, I guess, yeah, there's so many things I don't know, especially when it comes to the ocean. There's always a new yucky ocean alien thing that they're like, I guess this exists.
I know.
And so I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm sure someone saw a thing, thought it was like a monster and called it the Loch Ness Monster. Or like, you know, I'm sure there's a huge monkey looking thing in the woods. And they're like, I guess it's Bigfoot. Like, I believe it.
I think what's so fun about those is that if that is true, something about these creatures are like, but I don't want you to see me. Like, they hide. They don't want to be seen. They're so
demure.
There's, like, something about them where they're like, I'll give you a peek. I'll give you a taste, but not a swallow.
Yeah, they're not like deer that are everywhere. They're just like, oh, I don't want you to really look at me.
Publicity whores. Those deers. Thirsty.
So thirsty. They're like, please, I'll be in the road. I'll be anywhere you want me to be.
Just looking for work. Okay, well, the Dover Demon made such a big splash because it was in Massachusetts, like not too far away from Boston in Dover, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like they pretty much know what's on land around there. And then one day this creature apparently shows up. Most of the research I got is from WBSM.com, which is the website of 1420 WBSM, New Bedford's news talk station. So, 1977, there's a 17-year-old boy named Bill Bartlett, and he's driving in his Volkswagen with two of his friends around 10:30 p.m. when he notices a strange creature with his headlights. He says he wasn't sure if it was a dog or a cat at first. It was on all fours, and it was grasping a rock with, like, hands. He said it had strange little feet with long fingers, two large eyes that were glowing like orange marbles, and a round head that was shaped like the rest of its body.
Ooh.
He said it was peach-colored, and it had skin like a shark.
Oh.
He said the sighting only lasted about 7 to 8 seconds, but his two friends didn't see anything. Then 2 hours later, a 15-year-old named John Baxter was walking home from his girlfriend's house, and he's feeling good. It's 12:30, coming home for his curfew. He sees what looks like a person with a big head standing upright on 2 feet.
Oh my God.
And he knew a neighbor kid that had a larger than average head, and he thought it was him. So he said, is that you? And then the thing ran off, and then it leaned up against a tree. And then this girl the next night, 15-year-old, I don't know why only teenagers are seeing this.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. She was driving with her boyfriend, and she saw what she described as a hairless monkey in the area. It didn't have a tail. It was on all fours, and it had a face that had no features other than some big old eyes. And the thing is, these three kids, apparently, if they knew each other, they didn't know each other super well. It's believed that they never talked to each other about this.
Yeah.
And crazy thing is, it's never been seen again.
Whoa.
Some people think that it was a baby moose or a baby horse or even a big giant owl. Or a dog with mange. So that's the Dover demon.
Huh. But it can't be like, well, I guess it, not that it can't be, but like a moose and a dog. Well, I guess a dog can be on its hind legs, but the part about it standing on two legs doesn't seem like animal-like.
I mean, I've seen it. There's a dog I follow. I don't know if you see this dog, but there's this dog that's so cute and it like sits in a chair like a human.
I've seen videos like that, yeah.
So, you know, it could just be an unusual.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing also, animals are so rude to each other sometimes. If you're that Disney character in the family where you're a little baby moose that can walk on two legs and you don't have any hair and you don't have any horns, the family's going to be like, you're weird. Get away.
Yeah.
And then it's just like crawling on its own looking for food and friends.
Yeah, the moose was just on, it's like, this is the first act of this moose's journey. Eventually, they'll find their horns.
And then she becomes famous.
Yeah.
People are still talking about her. It's like 50 years later. Anyway. Hey, can I show you a haunted eBay doll?
Please.
It's time for...
The Dolls Are Living.
Okay, so here's what I do. I go to eBay. And I type in the words haunted doll. And to many people's surprise, there are thousands of listings every day. This one I have found is named Bethina. Jiha, could you show us Bethina, please?
Oh, boy.
Bethina is going for
$50. Mm-hmm.
Which is, I'd say, an average price.
For a haunted doll. Okay.
She is kind of a... baby doll, got on a kind of a cute dress, velvet, red. Something that sticks out to me about Bethina's head is that the sides of it, it's like she has like a ridge around her head.
Yeah, it's like a hammerhead shark.
It feels like an empanada or something, like or like a pot sticker. You know how they like pinch it together around the corners? Like it feels,
yeah.
She's got a pot sticker head.
Yeah. Which, yeah, it feels like there's no division between the ears and the head. It's all smooth and then into a point.
She looks sweet, you know?
She does look sweet.
Looks like a sweet young baby doll.
Which is deceiving.
Don't be fooled.
Yeah.
Which Bethina, no offense to anyone if you're listening and that's your name, but it's not the cutest name I've ever heard.
No, I mean, it does sound like a haunted name.
It really
does. It
sounds
like, of course, Bethina is a haunted doll.
Well, these all come with biographies.
Oh.
This one's kind of long, but I'll give you some of the highlights. It says, meet Bethina. This doll is unlike any other haunted item you may come across in your lifetime. No, this is not your run-of-the-mill spiritual encounter. Bethina is a whole other level of creepiness. From the moment this doll entered my life, I have felt an overwhelming sense of terror and unease. Strange occurrences have plagued my home, from unexplained voices whispering in the dead of night to objects moving on their own accord. And I swear, I have seen the eyes of Bethina follow me as I move about the room. I fear for my mental and emotional well-being, and I can no longer keep Bethina in my home. They go on to blah, blah, blah. They did some, like, sessions to try to talk to her. It turns out she is very negative. In the night, I have heard horrid groans and whispers coming from her as if she's speaking in reverse.
Oh, no.
Like the words are reverberating through the air and back into wherever they came from. They do warn potential buyers that this doll has been known to scratch wood surfaces. Hell no.
Oh, no.
I'm getting my deposit back.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion, I have found deep, deliberate scratch marks in my furniture. Hell no.
Oh, no.
And I have no doubt that Bethina is the culprit.
Wow. That's a lot of activity from this doll.
Yeah. And like often, I feel when these dolls sound like true nightmares, just give it to a thrift store or burn it. I don't know. Why are you saying I need $50 for this?
Oh, interesting. I guess because there are people who want that.
I guess, but you're also being like, just so you know, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's very negative and it will ruin your furniture.
But maybe if they just gave it away to Goodwill, they feel like irresponsible because some unknowing person is just going to pick it up and take it home and now have like moans and groans when they're trying to go to sleep and scratched up furniture.
Well, the other thing is it could be maybe this doll just doesn't like you. Maybe this doll doesn't like your furniture.
I thought that was an interesting point when they were like, we tried to talk to her and she's very negative. She just has a bad attitude.
What?
Ugh, what? I hate this chair. It is ugly.
Well, that's Bethina.
Wow. Have you met or talked to people who actively seek out these dolls, like who actively buy these dolls? I do know one person. I don't know her well, but she does buy haunted dolls to keep in her home.
Tell me about this.
I don't know, like, if anything's happened, but I think there's, like, some sort of, like, hunt or, like, this, like, collector's urge to get multiple haunted dolls.
I mean, yeah, it's almost like having a pet or something, I think.
Just a little more finicky.
Yeah, I think it could be. Some of them sound great.
Yeah.
You know, I read a lot of these bios and I get tempted. Sometimes I'm like, that sounds like my kind of person. They sound fun. We like the same kind of things. But I know a few people that are into this kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, I will say, eBay. It's one of these things like, I don't know, certain dating apps that seem like they're for hookups or whatever. And sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll be like, I don't go on that. Everyone on there, they just want this or that. And I'm like, well, maybe you don't know that. If you're going to be on there, maybe somebody like with the same mindset as you could be on. Like, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way about eBay sometimes where it's like it has a bad reputation because I think there's a lot of just like garbage, people make up fake ghost stories, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there could be some good ones on there. I think there's some gems. You never know what you're going to get. But most of the people I know that have these kinds of things, it's usually more from like someone had it and gave it to them. Someone reached out because they knew these people were into it or, you know, that sort of a thing.
Actually, another time I was in New Orleans, I was with a friend. We went to a voodoo priestess shop and she helped us make voodoo dolls. It was just for like kicks.
Right.
But I wish before we made it, she explained what she explained to us after we made it.
Uh-oh.
Which is these voodoo dolls are in your likeness. So you do have to take care of them. If you don't take care of them, it's like you're not taking care of yourself. And if you don't want that responsibility, you can't just throw them away or destroy them because that will also affect your life. You have to like ceremoniously dismember them or something, which she did not explain.
And that is $500.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, thank you so much for coming. Please recommend me. So we had these dolls and I had both of them for some reason when we left New Orleans. And I just like had them in a plastic bag in the corner of my room, like not thinking about it. And months went by. It's not like a lot of terrible things happened to me, but just like I just didn't feel good. Life didn't feel like fun. And I remember talking to my friend being like, how do you feel? She's like, kind of shitty, actually. Like, I feel like trash. And I was like, do you think our voodoo dolls have anything to do with this? Since they're literally in a plastic bag being treated like trash. And so I took them out of there and then I Googled what to do with these voodoo dolls if you don't want to like take care of them. Because like also the priestess was like, you have to water them. You have to like give them good affirmations. And sometimes the action you do to the voodoo doll correlates with what you want in your life. So it's like if you want more money, you would put a penny in its stomach or something.
Okay.
Or if you want more love or something, you would like put a flower in the heart space. Or if you need help with like speaking or something, you would like do something with its mouth. It was all like your body correlating with this doll. So I was Googling what to do with these dolls if you don't want to actively take care of them. And someone was like, wrap them up in a white towel and put sea salt on them just so they could be dormant and chill out for a minute. So I did that. I like gently put them in a towel, put salt in them, put them in a drawer. And then someone else was like, yeah, I didn't do anything with my doll and I got fired. It ruined my marriage. Like, they talked about how it just destroyed everything in their life. And they tried to send the doll back to the shop, but they weren't allowed to. And so then they did ask how to dismember it. And they like had to go to the woods and it involved like submerging it in a creek and like
taking it
apart one by one. And I was like, I don't have time for that right now, but I will just leave it in a towel. And then when I saw my friend again, I gave her her doll because I was like, I don't want to be responsible for your life. And then and then I kept my doll, and then I just took it out and like put it like in a very visible space. And also it's ugly. It's just like twigs bundled together and like felt pieces and button eyes. Like it looks scary and weird. It's not an attractive thing to have out for people to see, but I was like, she needs to be seen. She's angry. And then there was a moment where I was house hunting for a house in LA, and I was like talking to all my witchy friends. I was like, please burn candles, do what you gotta do to help me get a house. And then I found the house that I wanted, but like everyone else also wanted that house. Like there were 16 bids up for it. And I got the voodoo doll and I was like, look, I didn't want to bother you, but I really want this house. If you have any pull, if there's any energy you have, please help me, help the universe, get me this house. And I did get the house. So now this voodoo doll lives in an altar next to the door.
Good. She deserved it.
She deserves it. She has a comfy couch to sit on. It's like a tiny little felt couch.
Stop.
Yes, because I'm like, you know what? I don't know if you helped or if there's other factors, but I did use you. I did actually ask for your help and I have the house. So I'm going to choose to believe that you had something to do with this.
I'm going to let her believe that too.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say that you like went to like an open house and like hit her. hit her in there, because then she's in the house and then,
yeah,
you know.
And she's like, my owner has to come with me.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, I think that you should just keep taking good care of that thing.
Yeah. Occasionally I'll just like thank her for things.
I would be giving it massages, you know?
Yeah. I should be giving her more stuff, more water.
Can I play you some ghost voices?
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for
EVPs
or EV Please. Have you ever heard the term EVP?
No, I haven't.
It stands for electronic voice phenomena.
Okay.
It's basically like in ghost hunting, when people believe they've captured a ghost speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any kind of audio recording. And people, not unlike eBay, they go on YouTube, TikTok, wherever, and they go, look at guys, I have captured a ghost speaking. So I have found two examples of that, and I'm going to play them for you. And I would love if you could tell me what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll give you a couple of options, the correct answer being what the ghost hunter believes the ghost is saying.
Okay.
So this first one was posted by STD Paranormal New Jersey. I don't know what that stands for. But that is what their name is. And they recorded this in Clifton, New Jersey. What is this ghost saying?
Oh.
I'm not going to lie. This is not the best one I've ever heard.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was happening.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, let me do it again. I can hear a...
Yeah, there is a difference between the static and something, but I can't really make out words.
Well, I'll give you some options.
Okay.
Was it A, I need protection? Was it B, I don't want to be a ghost? Was it C, I'm right next to you? Or D, O'Reilly? Okay. It's one of those. Let me play it again.
Really feels like O'Reilly.
They believe it is A, I need protection.
Well, of course, STD ghost whatever would say that. Yeah, standing next to that person, they probably do need protection.
Wait, okay, now that we know that, let's listen again.
Oh, I do hear it now.
I feel like I could trick my brain.
Yes.
into thinking that. But could yeah. I pull that out of thin air? No.
No.
STD. Hmm? You've been tested and it did not go well. Okay. This next one is from MIA Paranormal.
Okay.
They love three letters.
Yeah.
That's huge in the paranormal world. Or this might be MIA, the recording artist. this was recorded at Stonewall Jail in what I believe to be Stonewall, Ontario, Canada. Okay, what is it saying? Now that one, I feel like I can actually hear a voice.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me play it again.
Yeah.
Let me do it again.
Hmm.
Any guesses?
I feel like saying, where is it or something?
Mm.
Did they lose something? Someone?
Okay. Did they think it was A, relevant? B, we're not kids? C, what is it? Or D, redder lip? Like, you can use a redder lip. Like, I like your makeup, but...
But just a little more.
Okay, it's one of those. Let me play it again.
I'm going to say, what is it? Because I already did think it was, like, asking a question, like, where is it or something like that. So, yeah, maybe what is it?
Yeah, that's what they think. I can kind of hear it. What is it?
Are they being bothered? They're like, what is it?
What is it? I'm a ghost.
What is it? Yeah.
Let's do one last thing. I just want to hear some more of your thoughts. I'll just list off a bunch of supernatural, paranormal phenomena, and maybe you got a thought about it, or maybe a story. You never know what comes up.
Okay.
What about psychics? Where are you at on that?
I'm into them. I actually just spoke to a psychic days ago.
Stop.
Yeah. This was a animal communicator because my current partner had to put her cat down, which is very sad.
Oh.
But before he was moving on, we wanted to speak to him and get his thoughts, see if he knows what's happening. And the communicator was really good and, like, had very little information from us. We didn't say, like, really much at all or, like, what was happening with the cat or anything. And she was like, yes, the cat is aware that, like, this is the last day and feels, like, very tired and ready and feels like he's had a really good life. He's lived a lot of life in the 14 years he's been on this earth and hasn't liked everybody, but really likes his owner. And then he mentioned me, which is so sweet. As I was like, this is not my cat. I've been around for a little bit, but not like, it's not my cat. So I wasn't expecting to get a shout out, but I did. And he was like, yeah, I really like you and I consider you family and we have a deep friendship. And I was like, oh my God, that was so sweet. And then the cat was like, kind of like really sassy actually. And my partner was like, well, how do you feel about the dogs in the house? Like your brothers, the other dogs in your space. And he was like, I didn't think we needed them.
I have some notes.
Yeah, they are loud and I really don't feel like I needed to be around them. And we were like, but like, you enjoyed them, right? And he's like, no comment. Like, I was enough for three animals. My energy was enough for three pets. You really didn't need to have other pets in here.
He's like, listen, this is my last day here. I don't need to start a bunch of drama, but let me just say, they were not for me.
No, not needed, but I guess that they were fine if you wanted them, but I didn't need them.
Where did you find this person? Like, from a recommendation, or did you guys just okay.
One of my close friends uses a pet communicator regularly because she fosters dogs, and so she wants to know, like, what they went through and then what will make them comfortable and how are they getting along with the other dogs in the house. So she recommended this communicator and yeah, she was really good.
Have you been to human communicator psychics?
I haven't yet. I mean, I guess I have been to a psychic. I guess I haven't been to like a medium or someone who can speak to a person. But yeah, I have been to a psychic actually in New Orleans. There's a psychic named Philip who I see every time I go through there. I feel like every couple of years I see him and he's just like my uncle where I'm like, hey, I did this. And he's like, I know. Like, he's like,
I knew that already. Yep.
He's like, I did know that already. Yeah, he's great. The first time I saw him, he did like a palm reading and then a tarot reading and kind of like predicted like my 3 month journey, 6 months, and then 9 months. And he wrote it on a piece of paper and I took it and put it away somewhere. And then I think like a year later, looked back at it and was like, oh, wait, all these things happened. And I can't remember all of them, but I know what one for sure. He was like, in 6 months, you will leave a father figure or like you'll disconnect from a father figure. And I was like, I wonder what that means. Because like my dad and I, we're not like close, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to cut him off. But I did fire my first manager within that time who I had for like 4 years. And he was an older man. And not that he was my father, but like he was like one of the first people in the business to be like, you, like, I'm going to help you. And you're, mm-hmm. I think you're talented. And he did help me. But then there came a time where I felt like I needed to move on to someone else. And yeah, it was very interesting to be like, oh, wow, that's what he meant. And that was like dead on.
Damn.
Yeah. He's very good at that stuff.
This was a hearty answer. I thought I was just going to get like, yeah, I believe in psychics. That was great. This is what we crave around here. Okay, I'll just ask like two more then. What do you think about UFOs?
I mean, yeah, I think they're definitely real. So does NASA. So does the Air Force.
But do you think that they're aliens? Like, do you think that they are humanoid creatures?
I don't know if they're humanoid, but I do believe in aliens, yeah. Yeah, because it's kind of silly to think that we are the only things that exist in this universe. Like, of course there's other beings on other planets that are existing and probably have been here and might be here right now. Yeah, I did a UFO tour in Sedona because, of course, that's what you do.
Oh, my God. Here we go. We got more. I did that, too.
Yeah.
Was it with one lady?
It was with one lady. I can't remember her name exactly.
This might have been the same one I went on.
Probably. We went to like this parking lot and then like looked at the mountaintops. Yes.
I have talked about this on the show before and I've never talked to anyone that has been to this woman. Did she say that she's been abducted many times?
Yes.
I can't believe we have this in common. Okay. Tell me about your experience.
Well, she gave us this like really intense,
very expensive.
Yeah.
Like, night vision.
Binoculars. Yeah. And was explaining like, this is what you look for. If you see a plane, that's what that is. Or right. Like the blinking lights, probably a satellite or something. And then anything else moving in the sky is unidentified. It's a UFO. And there was tons of them.
Yeah.
Just flying all over the sky and then landing on this one mountainside. And she was like, yeah, sometimes they just like all land over there just to like commune and like hang out and check out what's going on in town. And I was like, I guess they're having an active night. There's like a lot of them just like hanging out over there on that mountain. It wasn't even just her. We ran into so many people who were like, oh, yeah, aliens come here. I have been abducted. That's just what happens here. Yeah, it's like really active.
When I went, yeah, I want to say that woman is like, I don't know if she says you'll see a UFO or your money back, but she's very confident that you will see UFOs.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about what's up there. So I'm like, okay, this lady says it that it is. And I saw things. I didn't see any of them like landing on a mountain, but I saw them like start and stop and like go in different directions and like zigzag.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like one of my friends is like telling me, no, there's absolutely no way. That's some like Elon Musk situation up there and it's not like an actual UFO.
Yeah.
Satellites and whatever. But then the lady told me that she would come on my podcast and I called her, I texted her, I emailed her, and I'm convinced that she is up there.
They took her.
They took her and she is good to go. She's like, this is what I wanted the whole time.
I feel like she, of all people, would be so excited to tell her story and everything she's learned about UFOs. So if she's not returning your calls, she has been taken.
She's up there. Okay, last one. What do you think of like synchronicities? Like when things happen in life that are Some would say a coincidence. Do you think that it's a coincidence? Do you read into it?
I feel like it's like the universe or like things that were supposed to happen that way. Yeah, I don't really think things are just like, whoa, crazy. I can't believe that happened like that. It's like, I think it was meant to happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's already been a thing decided that this will be how this plays out. So I guess fate or something or destiny. It feels like those moments don't feel like a coincidence to me. It feels like, oh, this is what was written.
I like that. I agree with you on that. I was just thinking, now listen, you've done a bajillion things in your career, but of course you're on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Is 30 Rock haunted?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would believe it if someone said that it was. I have never seen or heard any activity that felt like paranormal, but it's an old building.
It feels like it would be haunted.
Yeah.
It feels like the kind of place where people would have stories.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever heard any.
I don't think I have either, but I would not be surprised because like so much of it's untouched. So much of it's like the same carpet, like the same windows. Like it's just like feels like a very storied space. So I would not be surprised, but I personally haven't experienced anything there.
Well, Sashir, this has been truly magical.
Yes.
I did not know that you were going to have this many stories.
Honestly, I didn't either. But I feel like I surprise myself where I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I do have a lot of thoughts about this or I have experienced this.
It's great. This is an ideal guest situation here. Can you tell people where to find you and what you got going on?
Yeah. All my socials, my Instagram, Twitter is at The Sheer Truth. And I have a stand-up special that I put out. It's on YouTube. It's called The First Woman. And if you like magic paranormal stuff, I have a whole section about witches in there that's really fun.
Ooh!
Yeah.
We got a lot of witch listeners.
Yeah, so you will love my special. Go watch it. And I have a podcast with Nicole Byer called Best Friends that comes out every Wednesday.
Amazing! Well, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take good care of your voodoo doll.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Sashir Zameda. What an episode. Ah, I love you all, both living and dead. But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye. This has been an Exactly Right production. Want to share your paranormal experience on the podcast? I read stories out loud, and sometimes I'll even call you. So email me at ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. You can send a DM or voice message to the show's Instagram at ghostedbyroz. Give us a follow while you're there. And follow me, Roz, on Instagram at Roz Hernandez and on TikTok and Twitter at It's Roz Hernandez. My senior producer is the startling Jiha Lee. Associate producer is the alarming Christina Chamberlain. This episode was mixed and sound designed by the eerie Edson Choi. My guest booker is the petrifying Patrick Kottner. Additional production support from the hair-raising Hannah Kyle Crichton. My theme music is by the spine-chilling Brendan Lynch Salomon. Artwork by the spooky Vanessa Lilac. Photography by the terrifying Elizabeth Karen. Executive produced by the chilling Karen Kilgariff, the spooky Georgia Hardstark, and the frightening Danielle Kramer.